sorry, Srila Narottam Das Thakur said one of his songs, Golok Kera Prema Dhan Harir Nama Sankirtan. This Sankirtan, this Hari Nam Sankirtan, this chanting of the name of the Lord, is important from Goloka, in the spiritual world. The Ramasamhita is said that in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, every word is a song, every step is a dance. In Mexico they have a saying, I would say in Spanish, they are cantando y bailando las penas se van volando, which means by chanting and dancing all sorrows fly away. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna, not any one day in song. So once the gopis were singing the glories of Lord Krishna, and they chanted so sweetly, so deeply, that the Jamuna River became milk by the sound of glorification of the transcendental chanting of the gopis. The Jamuna River became milk, and they started to churn, making yogurt and butter. And Balaram's dress became white, usually it's blue. That the heading of this chanting became white. So when the glories of the Lord are chanted, the association of the devotee, all the atmosphere becomes purified and sanctified. The minds of the devotee become sanctified also. So I was asked to speak about today Krishna Lila. So I think just close to go and talk about Krishna Lila. Because otherwise if I read something else I would go to. Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So like I said the other day, Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities. An unlimited way. The jivas in the liberated stage can achieve 50 of those qualities up to 78%. So when we say that we are equal to Krishna in quality but not in quantity, but also the quality is also less. When we say less quantity, same quality but less quantity, meaning the quality also less than qualities, Krishna's quality, and less percentage also. Lord Shiva has 55 of those qualities, including omniscience, another only that the Lord has, up to 84%. And Lord Narayan at Vaikuntha, he has 60 of those qualities, up to 96%. And what are those four qualities that even Lord Narayan doesn't have, that Krishna has? Like we said, Velu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya. Velu Madhurya, the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. When Krishna plays the flute, many amazing things happen. And one of those things, I don't know if I mentioned to you. Did I mention this to you before? I speak so many places, I forget. When Krishna sounds his flute, all moving entities become stunned, they can't move, become so ecstatic, so emotional, spiritual emotion, that they can't move, they become like statues. So the gopis, when cooking, doing something, everything gets burned, everything goes tipsy-turvy, nothing is accomplished. And the calves, which are drinking the milk from the mother, the cow, they stop drinking the milk, and milk dripping from their mouth, and the ears, they're stretched to the front to catch Krishna's beautiful, nectarian sweet flute. And the humble beings, like the trees and rocks, they start to shake. Although it's not autumn, the trees, you know, all the leaves falling like tears, crying for Krishna. And the swans who are swimming in the lake, crystal clear lakes, they close their eyes and enter into samadhi. It's only few of the symptoms of it. When Krishna was here in Vrindavan, when he played his flute, even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva become bewildered, trying to understand the intricacy, the beautiful sound and raga that Krishna was playing in his flute. Sometime they will come to hear the sound vibration. And Krishna has different varieties of flute. Bamboo flute, and golden flute, and jewels flute, different size, different shapes, and for different purposes also. One for the cows, one for calling the gopis, one for calling his friends. So, one day Balaram told Krishna, "My dear brother, you are the hero of Vrindavan. Everybody is talking about your transcendental pastimes and glories. I wish to be you at least for one day." Krishna said, "No problem, you are my dear brother, you can, whatever you want, I will give you. So what do you like to do?" "Okay, here is my flute, here is my bigot feather, here is my yellow dot. You become Krishna for one day." So Balaram was very happy. He put the dot and the bigot feather and started playing the flute. I am Krishna. That same day, Kapsa sent the Keshi demon, the horse demon. Keshi asked Kapsa, "I've never seen Krishna, so you have to tell me how he looks like. I'm going to kill him, I have to know how he looks like." "Oh, he has a yellow dot, he becomes feather, play the flute. You will recognize him when you see him." So Keshi ran and went down and he saw the ram and thought, "This is Krishna." So Balaram was distracted playing the flute very happily, and Keshi demon came and kicked him on the chest. So strong that Balaram flew in the sky, you know. He fell like a few kilometers. It didn't make much hurt, a little something, you know. So he went to Krishna. "Krishna, I have enough to be Krishna today. Here is your flute. You got feather. Enough for the day." And then we have Rupa Madhurya. Krishna's beautiful form. So attractive, so beautiful. That once there was a pastime in the Krishna about it. That one Brahmana came to complain to Maharaj Ugrasena that happened in Dwarka about that his children, as soon as they were born, they died. And say, "What kind of king are you? If you are a pious king, this should not happen in your kingdom. The natural thing is that children survive their father, their parents. But this, I already lost 8 children. How is this possible? Maybe you are not doing correct. Maybe you are not pious enough. You're doing something wrong. What kind of chatty are you? You're not protecting your citizen properly." He was chastising. So Ugrasena didn't say anything. And but Arjuna was visiting Krishna at that moment in Dwarka. So he could not tolerate that the Kshatriyas being insulted like that. He went to the Brahmin and said, "Please don't lose your faith in the Kshatriyas. I am Kshatriya also. And I promise you that next time you are going to have a child, I will protect your son from death itself. Even if Yamaraj can, I will fight him. I promise you. If I can't protect your son, I will enter fire and give up my life." Brahma said, "Okay." So, after 1 year, the Brahman's wife was having another child, and Arjuna was with his dog and diva at the door. You know, even the Yamadutas, or Yamaraj, even Brahma, whoever comes, he will fight. So he gave his promise. And as soon as the boy was born, he was crying, and immediately he stopped crying, he died. So the Brahmana came out crying, lying, you know, shouting loudly, you know, swine, everybody. Arjuna said, I'm going to look for the child immediately. But with mantra, he had, you know, mantra to transport himself any planet and universe. He had so much power, Arjuna. So he went to Yamaloka to look for the child, he wasn't there. He went to other planets, you know, heavenly planets, Indraloka, Suryaloka, Chandraloka, all the planets, up to Brahmaloka. He couldn't find the child. Anywhere in the universe. Nobody knew. We asked all the great devatas who know the destiny of living entities. Nobody knew. Even Yamaraj didn't know where this child was. The soul of this child was. So Arjuna felt defeated. He came back, ignited the fire, and was going to throw himself in the fire. But Krishna stopped him. He said, Arjuna, I don't mean to do this. I know where the children, all of them are. Come with me. I will take them. I will take you with you. Come in my chariot, and they flew in the sky. You know? So they were traveling over the universe. Have you heard this story in the Krishna book?
Yes.
Very interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So they covered all the heavenly planets, Brahmaloka. They came to the darkest, you know, region of the universe to cover them. You know, each universe has 7 layers, and each layer is 10 times bigger than the previous one. So imagine how it's like a coconut, you know, very dark inside. That's why there is need of moon and sun. Otherwise the material is a very dark place. So the horses playing the part as ordinary horses, they became frightened, you know, to make the lila more intense, you know. And Krishna, to dispel their fear, with a certain chakra, he lightened all the dark sky there. And they passed all over the coverings, and they came to the Brahmajyoti. Arjuna couldn't, he was becoming blind, you know, so powerful light. So Krishna touched his eyes and protected them, so you can open your eyes now, you can see here, the Brahmajyoti. So they covered all Brahmajyoti, came to Mahavishnu Loka. When they arrived in Mahavishnu Loka, Mahavishnu was sitting on a straw, Anantashesh, he came down to greet Krishna and Arjuna. He told Krishna, Krishna, I stole the 9 children. And I did so only to see you. I was so eager to have your darshan that the only way I could see you is that you would to save your devotee Arjuna, I knew that you will come here. And why Mahavishnu didn't steal the boys? Why he didn't send one of his servants to do it? Because Dwarka nobody can touch anybody there under the protection of Krishna. Only Krishna himself can do that. So Mahavishnu has to come to do this. And when the Brahmin got all the 9 children at one time, the wife was in ecstasy. You know? So many children, one time, 9 children. Mothers now, they become desperate. So beautiful form of Krishna, Rupa Madhurya. So, what is that verse in Brahma Samhita describing Krishna's beautiful form?
Venum Panandam.
No, there's another one. This is describing, but there's another one.
Ananda Chinna.
Another one.
Which one?
No.
Shyamam Tribhangalalita.
Shyamam Tribhangalalita Nyatam Prakasham. Tribhanga, occurred in 3 places. They are in Hindi saying that be careful with the one who cross-legged.
Yeah.
How was that saying? You can't trust the cross-legged. Of course, we should trust Krishna. This is, you know, this very familiar thing, you know, Vijayavasi says. That's why they chant Rairan, because they know. Prabhupada once said that one can be fool number one. But if Radharani tell Krishna, please accept this devotee, Krishna will be obliged to accept. He may be fool number one. Radharani said he was. So that's why we always chant Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Through her mercy alone, they can get Krishna's mercy. So, I mean, it's a wonderful pastime of Krishna. You know, There is one leela, very, very wonderful leela. Trying to remember, very ecstatic leela. Raghunathas Goswami described one of his books. Do you know this pastime, Surbalvesh? This one time, Krishna told his friend Subal, "My dear Subal, I am feeling very great separation from Radha. You must try to do something to help me meet her. But what can I do? It's daytime, now she's at home. Jatila Kutila are there, what can I do? You find a way. I know you're very intelligent, you will find a way. Please, do something. I'm very eager to see her." Subal said, "Okay, I will try." So Subal went with one calf in front of him to Radharani's home. And when Jatila Kutila said, "Oh, this is one of Krishna's friends, be very careful what he comes to see. Look here." Subal said, Today I had a fight with Krishna, I don't want to do nothing about it. You know, he's mistreated me today, I'm very angry at him, I don't want to talk to him. Don't tell me about him anymore. "Oh, such a nice boy, come, you would like to have some rasgulla, some sandesh, you know." Okay, so he accepted, he entered the home, they gave him some sweet to eat. They were distracted doing something. Immediately, went to see Radharani and explained to her, "Krishna, I'm very eager to see you, you have to go. How can I go home? They can do not allow me to." Subal told her, "Let's change dress. You go instead of me." So they changed dress, and Radharani dressed as Subal with a turban. She caught the calf on her arms, so they will not know that she is a lady, and walked out of the house. "Oh, Subal, you're leaving. Okay, come back soon. Don't go with that Krishna." So Subal arrived at Krishna, and Krishna said, "Subal, you wasn't successful, you didn't bring Radharani." Radharani was looking at Krishna, "Take off the turban." Krishna was so happy. Another time, Mother Yashoda was filling a big chest with jewels and saris and necklaces and so many valuable things. So Krishna asked his mother, "Mother, what are these things for me or for Balaram?" "No, no, I already have one chest for you and Balaram already made, full of jewels and clothes and everything. The thing for who is this? May I know, please?" "Oh, this is for the most beautiful, the most chaste girl in all Vrindavan, for Radharani. She's so qualified. She's so enchanting and she cooks so heavenly for you. I'm so grateful to her, I want to send this gift to her." So, Mother Yashoda filled all the chest with all these things and was looking for somebody to carry. So Krishna took chance with his friend, take out everything from the chest. And he entered the chest and they closed, you know. So, Yashoda Maya, so Abhimanyu, so called husband of Radharani, "Oh, come, I have something for your wife, please can you take very valuable jewels and things, big chest, can you carry?" And he came to the house and, okay, they helped him to put on his back. "Oh, this chest is very heavy, because we have very valuable things here." So he walked his home. And we arrived home, so, "Radhe, this is Yashoda Maya sent you many valuable things. Please, I'll leave it here in my room." And as soon as he left the room, she opened and he said, "Surprise." And of course, for Radhe, this is the most valuable Jew. There is no more valuable Jew for her than Krishna. And so in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, a book by one of Mahaprabhu's associates, Kavi Karna. He writes very beautiful Leela, childhood pastime. This is Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. Sweet pastimes of Krishna. Not even Narayans have such a beautiful, sweet pastime. Especially Krishna's childhood pastime are very sweet. So once, Mother Yashoda was very busy churning yoga, making butter. So she told the gopis, please, can you give Krishna dinner to eat? And the gopis brought different varieties of sweet, pera, rasgulla, sandesh, rabri, rasmalai. And they offered to Krishna. Krishna said, no, I don't want any of those sweets. No, what do you want? It was a full moon night, and the moon looked golden. Sometimes the full moon looked golden. So Krishna said, I want that condensed butter there in the sky. I want to eat that butter. The gopis smiled. No, Krishna, there is no butter. This is Raja Hamsa. This is a royal swan. He said, then bring it, I can play with it. Then Madhya Yashoda came. What's wrong, Krishna? Why are you not eating your dinner? Krishna said, I wanted to eat this condensed butter, but the gopis say it is a swan. Madhya Yashoda said, no, no, Krishna is correct. The moon is actually condensed butter, it's correct. Because when the devatas and asuras were churning the milk ocean, the moon was born from that. So, to say that the moon is condensed butter is correct. Krishna said, a milk ocean? How many cows were needed to make such an ocean? Madhya Yashoda said, my dear Krishna, you are a very simple boy. Let me explain to you. There was no need of any cows to make this milk ocean. So I can't believe that. If there is no cow, there is no milk. Some years ago, in Brazil, the TV went to schools and they were interviewing children, asking them from where the milk comes. All the children said, from corn, from, you know, can, and this thing. But, you know, city boys, you know, city girls, they never saw cow in their life. They only see people coming from the pot. But Krishna, no, it's a cow. There's no milk, no cow, no milk. But Maya Sahara told me, my dear Krishna, let me explain to you. The creators of all the cows can create a milk ocean without the need of the cow. Oh, that's very interesting. But there is some problem. You can't eat the condensed butter. Why? Because you see those black spots on the moon? These are poison. So you can't eat. I say, Krishna said, I don't believe this is poison. The scorpions has poison, the cobras has poison, you know, spiders, some spiders have poison, but the condensed butter? No, I can't believe that. Maharaj said, let me explain to you, Krishna. When the devatas and asuras were chilling the milk ocean, the first wave came, poison, you know. What is the name of that poison?
Kala.
Alaha. Okay. So, Lord Mahadev, in order to save the world from this danger, he kept this poison on his throat, without swallowing it. And he saved the world. That's why another name for Lord Shiva is Nilakanta, blue throated one. It is said once Lord Shiva was chanting the glories of Lord Krishna so ecstatically that the blue mark on his neck disappeared. And Parvati, she told this is another person, not her husband, she left over. Anyway, so Maharaj Yashoda told Krishna, so while Lord Shiva was drinking this poison, some drops fell from his hand, and some animals like cobras and snakes, scorpions, they drank those little drops, and that's why they became poisonous. So, sorry, you can't have this condensed water. Okay, Krishna said, give me whatever you have here. So Krishna has his dinner. And before going to sleep, Krishna asked his mother, can you please tell me a better story? you know, all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stories, it's coming from Krishna. Everything is coming originally from Krishna. So Madhava Yashodhara was telling Krishna about Ramana. And then she was telling him, after telling all the story, and then Ravana came and kidnapped Sita. Then Krishna started to shout, "Lakshman, Lakshman, bring my bow, bring my arrows." Once Lord Balaram, Krishna's dear brother, he was drinking his favorite beverage. What is his favorite beverage?
Varuni.
Varuni is the daughter of Varuna, and she supplied honey to Balaram. And Balaram, after drinking good quantity of this honey, he became intoxicated. If you drink too much sugar, you become intoxicated. Why the hand they look always after sugar? Because there's some intoxication there, you know. You put a piece of sugar on the 20th floor and then they do, some hand will appear there to run it, you know. Once the devotee put have honey, you know, so he put the honey in the middle of water so no ant will come. The ant will come to the roof and drop inside, you know. Sometimes they die in the Charanamrita also. Some places. They attracted sweetness. So anyway, Balaram got transcendentally intoxicated by this honey. And he started to speak like an intoxicated person. He was asking his friends, "Why the moon looks enlarged?" "And you Indra, what are you laughing at? You are plating of Sachi, your wife. And you ants, why are you hiding in those holes? If you keep laughing at me, Devatas, I will destroy the whole universe. And I know my brother Krishna will not be angry at me." Speaking like that. So Rupa Goswami said that, "May Lord Balaram bless all of us in this ecstatic, you know, condition." You have to understand, everything we see in this material world is perverted reflection of the spiritual world. We should not think that it's material, you know, the spirit. So everything we see here exists there, but there is pure, it's perfect. There's no material contamination there. It's eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. If everything is covered by ignorance, you know, passion, suffering. Prabhupada told us, he visited South America, because one people were having conversation with Prabhupada. They asked, "Why we are suffering in this world?" Prabhupada said, "We are suffering because we have a material body." Material body means you have to get sick, get old and die. So there is suffering. And if you want to stop the suffering, then you have to get the spiritual body, which is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and eternal. So the soul, getting a material body, is a bad business. You know, bad bargain. If you go to some store and they have something on sale, very cheap selling, you know, take this kurta, only one riyal, you take it. Everybody will buy, you know. But there is no devolution. You can't. When you arrive home, you open the bag and there is a hole in the curtain. But you can't return. Are you going to throw it out? No. You try to fix it and use it. You know? Same way. Somehow we have got this material now. We can go back. We can say, "No, I want to return it." No, you already have it, that's it. What is done is done. Now we can make a good use of it. And this good use of it is to use this human form of life to become Krishna conscious, God conscious. And by hearing this pastimes of the Lord, the idea is to get attracted to join Krishna's eternal activities in the spiritual world. That's the whole idea. Otherwise, how we develop desire to be with Krishna and being eternal servant of Him, unless we are feel attraction to be there. And all this pastime help us in that way, to achieve that desire. So, but in order to do that, we have to become, you know, pure devotees of them. A pure devotee has all good qualities. Unless one develops good qualities, he can't be known as a pure devotee. Once Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the greatest fame in this world? And Ramananda Roy said, the greatest fame is to be known as a pure devotee of the Lord. That's the greatest fame. And devotee, one of his qualities is that he is forgiving. He doesn't keep any grudge in his heart against and even his enemies. There was one Narayan Bhatta Goswami, associate of the Six Goswami in Vrindavan. He was helping them also to excavate lost holy places and build temples and everything. He was a great saint. So one day, one thief entered his house to steal. And there were not many belongings, so everything fit in one big bag. And this thief was trying to escape from the window. But the guards were big, the bag so big, could not fit in the window, so he trying to push. He was outside of the trying to push. And suddenly he felt somebody was helping him pushing the whole thing out, you know. He was curious. Nobody was at home was helping me, you know. And he looked, was the owner of the house, you know, was helping him. So he was surprised, saying, how is this possible? I mean, I'm trying to steal from you and you're helping me. What is this? He said, is that right? Maybe you are more in need than me. You may take it. Krishna will provide me tomorrow. So if I need something, Krishna will give me the money. Oh, please tell me, who are you? I am Narayan, but I heard about you. You are a great saint. Please forgive me. Fell on his feet. And he said, all right, no problem. He became devotee. He surrendered. He became Vaishnava. But he saw him. The treatment he gave him. Change of heart immediately. No idea of possession. Free from this idea of possession. If you are destined to have something, nobody can take it from you. And if you are not destined to have it, you easily will lose it. Some or other, you know. Suppose somebody is walking on the street, and there is a thief, you know. The thief is thinking, I must get money somewhere or other because I need to, you know, gratify my desires and I need money for that. I have no money, so I have to steal from someone. So Paramatma Sandaha, they said to the thief, don't do that, you will be entangled, you will suffer. It's bad for you and for others. Don't do it. But the man says, no, that's the voice of consciousness, you know, sometimes. You know, what they call it. My consciousness is, you know, telling me, you know, that even bad people sometimes they hear that they should not do this bad things. But anyway, he insisted, I have to do it. My mother said, okay, this person coming here with the big bag, this don't steal from that person. But the person coming behind, that you can steal because that person wants to store from somebody else, now he is turned to pay for what he did. So you take from him. I need to say, nothing happened accidentally, everything happened for a reason. So that's why when Paramahara Parikshit was asking the Guru who was mistreating him, he said, it's very difficult to accept. Some people say it is the karma. Some people say it is destiny. Some people say like this, like that. So just to say, to point to somebody, accusing somebody, mistreating me, also became sin. Because this reminds me once Prabhupada, one last member came to complain to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I gave this money for life membership to the temple president, and he used it for something else. I'm complaining. The Prabhupada said, don't be angry at the instrument of your karma. Somebody may be used by destiny to be instrument for making you suffer. You should not be angry at him. You should be angry at yourself. Because we are creating our own suffering, our own enjoyment. Nobody else. Others may be like instrument. Of course, that doesn't mean everybody has to take responsibility for everyone's action. I mean, even the wrongdoer, even if he's doing to somebody who deserves that, still he has to pay reaction for having such desires. Because free will is always there, and free will means you are responsible for your actions. Isn't it? So anyway, there is one nice story from South India about forgiving. How forgiving can a devotee be? So this devotee was a disciple of Ramanujacharya. His name was Kulesh. So there were some envious Shaivites. They were envious of Ramanujacharya because he was preaching successfully Vaishnavism all South India. So these Shaivites, they became envious, you know. They had this idea that only Shiva is the supreme, not Vishnu or Krishna. So they preached to some king and they convinced him that Ramanuja was deviating from, you know, Vedic culture and all this. And they convinced him to arrest him. So some devotees came and told Ramanuja, we came to know that the soldiers are coming to arrest you. Please escape. But there is no time to escape because they were very close. If they escape, they will follow, they will find. They're coming on horses. So immediately Kulesh told his guru there, they are looking for a sannyasi, dressed in, you know, sattva. And I am Grihastha, and this right. Let us change dress. So they think I am you, they will get me, not you. The Ramanujacharya said, no, I can't do that. They will harm you, they will do something bad to you, I can't allow that. Say, Guru Dev, please, your life is so important for so many, you know, devotees, you know. They depend on you for their spiritual life. If something happened to you, it will be a big disaster. Let me do this service for you, please, Guru Dev. I want to do it. Finally, Ramanujacharya, you know, unwillingly agreed. He changes clothes with courage. And when soldiers came, the only sannyasis they saw dressed, oh, you are Ramanuja, yes, come with us. The king asking for you. So they took him. And in the court of the king, they were trying to force him to accept that Lord Shiva is the supreme, not Vishnu. You have to sign this paper here that I agree to that. Kuresh said, I'm sorry, but I can't accept that unless you convince me. Give your arguments. See if you can convince me. So the Shaivites were put with different mantras and things to come. But Kuresh, also quoting the Shastra, he defeated all their arguments. They were speechless. They couldn't say a word. He quoted so many Shastras, so convincingly, proving that Shiva is devotee of Lord Vishnu. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. And he is subordinate to the Lord. So finally, they saw they could not defeat him. So the king said, very sorry, but you either sign this or we are going to take out your eyes. Kuresh said, you can cut my body into small pieces, but I can't deny the supremacy of the Lord. So the king said to one soldier, okay, pluck out his eyes. The soldier came, took out his eyes. Very painful. But Kuresh survived, didn't die. So they released him, they let him go. And when Ramanujacharya came to know about this, he was very, very sorry about it. His disciple sacrificed so much for him. So one time, Kuresh went to have darshan Also he couldn't see anymore. Still he went to the temple. What is the name of that deity that gave blessings? Varadara, giver of blessing. So he prayed to the Lord so devotionally, with so much love and affection, that Varadara spoke to him, Kuresh, I'm pleased with you. Please ask any boon here. Kuresh asked, my dear Lord, I only ask you that the person who took out my eyes, let him go to Vaikuntha and be liberated. Amazing. When Ramanujacharya heard about it, he was so happy, you know, so forgiving, you know, so merciful. Amazing. You know? If we have some enemies speak bad about us, we want to see him down. We also try to speak bad about him. But see the attitude of courage, how merciful, how forgiving. And next time he went to pray also again to Varadaraja. Again Varadaraja offered him any boon. He said, I also want that the king who ordered that my house be plundered, he also go to Vaikuntha. Granted, Varadaraja said, whatever you ask, you are my dear one. When Ramanujacharya heard about it, he was very pleased. He called Kuresh. Kuresh, come, I want to congratulate you. You are a real Vaishnava. You have real compassion and forgiving. But I want to ask you next time, if Lord Varadaraja offered you blessing, I wanted to ask him to give you back an axe. And Kuresh said, my dear Lord, I feel very ashamed to ask the Lord something for myself. I mean, I can't, please excuse me, but I can't do that. And Ramanujacharya told him, and since when your eyes are yours? Since when your body belongs to you? You surrendered your body to me for Krishna's service. So how is that your body? You're not asking for you. You're asking for me. Kuresh was in ecstasy. Today my Guru Maharaj sent me as his own, as his property. And that's a fact. Somebody surrendered to the spiritual master, that means he changes life. He molds his life to follow the Guru's instruction. Not that the Guru's instructions are difficult, one change the instruction, no. And give trouble to the Guru, because if you take initiation and then you misbehave, the Guru has to suffer. So better not take initiation until you are sure that you are going to follow the instructions. Otherwise you will give trouble to the Guru and to yourself. Prabhupada explained that in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, after initiation, the disciple misbehave, do, sinful activity, things like that, the Guru has to suffer sickness or have nightmares and things like that. So, and the disciple also has to suffer the reaction. So then we better be careful about this. You have to be sure before taking this step. So anyway, Kuresh was in ecstasy, he went and he prayed to Varadaraja with so much devotion and love. Varadaraja again said, I dear Kuresh, you are such a nice Vaishnava. I'm so pleased with you, with so your attitude of forgiving mercy, that I ask me anything you want. And Kuresh said, my dear Lord, my spiritual master lost two things. If you want them back, if that's your desire, that my spiritual master get back his eyes servant, let it be. And suddenly the two eyes appeared. Miraculously, he regained his eyes. Such a great devotee. Okay, it's a little late. Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Rajiva Prabhu reminded me. I promised today to him that I want to tell the story of Chandula. Have you heard the story of Chandula? Some of you maybe. Yeah? How many of you don't know the story? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Plenty don't know, so it's good. Alright. This Chandula was a very pious man, but very materialistic at the same time. You see sometimes, materialistic people are good people, no? they want to help others, they want to do good to others, but they are very materially attached. But this Chandula, he was already old, he thought, oh, maybe I should surrender to Krishna, you know, I'm becoming old. And one day, Narad Muni went to see Krishna in the spiritual world. And Krishna was waiting for his friend to play with them. And Narad told Krishna, my dear Krishna, are you waiting for your friend? Yes, any moment they may come. Oh, if you want me, I can bring immediately right now 100 souls to play with you. Krishna said, oh, that's a very great idea. But please bring first Chandula. He apparently wants to come back to me. Bring him first, then you bring the other 99. Alright, said Narad Muni. He came to this earth planet and went to Chandular's home. Said, Chandular, you are so fortunate. Although you don't deserve it, Krishna is giving you the opportunity to give up your body and come back to him. Chandular said, yes, yes, I'm very eager to go with the Lord. But I have one request. And what is that, Chandula? Well, I have a son and daughter and I haven't married them yet. I would like to see them married before I leave. So, okay, how long, how much time you may need to do this? So, okay, give me a couple of years, you know, to have enough time to do it. Okay. Don't delay. Don't make Krishna wait so long. Of course, here in 2 years, there in the spiritual world, maybe in a few seconds, you know. So anyway, after 2 years, Narad Muni came back. Son and daughter are already married, you know. Okay, you satisfy your desire. Okay, let's go now with Krishna. Chandula said, well, I have another desire I haven't satisfied yet. And what is that, Chandula? I want to see my grandchildren before I leave. Alright, how much time you make? Well, give me at least two years, you know. We have time to have the children. Okay. After 2 years he came, and Chandula was playing, one granddaughter in one knee, the other grandson in another knee. I was playing with them, you know. And when he saw Narad Muni, he came to, you know, finish my part of my enjoyment here, you know. Okay, Chandula, you married your children, you have your grandchildren. Okay, you fulfilled your desire. Let's go with Krishna. Chandula said, of course I want to go. I'm very eager to go. But there is one more problem at home. I have to solve. What is that problem? Yeah, my wife sometimes quarrel too much with her daughter-in-law. So heavy that sometimes we take a knife and we kill each other. I have to come and separate them and pacify them. So I'm thinking about building a home separate for them so they will not have so many problems. So give me at least 1 year to build this house for them and all this. Chandula, don't take the risk. You know, this, my dear world is very dangerous. You have this opportunity now to go with Krishna. No, please, let me finish this, then I will go. Okay, don't tell, I didn't tell you. I didn't warn you. So now I'm only left. And after a few months, Chandula was, you know, building the house and everything. And once he was in his garden playing with his dog, you know, he has a dog there to protect the house. And he was playing with the dog, and suddenly he had a heart attack. And he was thinking of his dog while dying. The dog was around him, you know, playing, you know. And because of that, you know what Bhagavad Gita says? What is that verse? That is the verse. Say it again the first time.
Yam yam
vapisvaram bhavam tyajate ante kale maram tam tam nivayati kaundilasa tadbhavam bhavita. According to our state of mind at the time of death, that will take us to our next body without doubt. Remember the story of Mahabharata Maharaj. Took it beat up in body of the deer, he wasn't taught of the deer. But because he was very devout, he didn't forget Krishna. Even in the body of the deer. But Chandula, you know, he had to take a body of a dog because he thought of his dog at the time of death. So when Narada Muni came back, he didn't see Chandula, he saw the dog. But of course, by his mystic power, he knew this is Chandula. So he just died, Chandula, just see what happened to you for not hearing me. I warned him, just see, now, because you want to make way to Krishna, see what happened to you. And Chandula said, whoa, whoa. Okay, Chandula, I'm giving you one last chance. Give up this miserable body and let's go with Krishna right now. I'm giving you last chance. Take it or leave it. Chandula said, yes, yes, I want to go, I'm not with you. But there is one more problem here. What is that problem? Well, my family went on vacation and they left the window of the house open. Thief may come in and steal everything. And I worked so hard to get all this house and thief may take. Let me guard the house for the weekend. When they come back, I will go. See, the soul, the rebellious soul, was giving excuses not to surrender to Krishna. That's the teaching of this story. But Narada Muni was so kind and patient, said, okay, I will come after the weekend. He came after the weekend. The family came back every day. And when Chandula, the dog, said, Narada became angry. He started to bark at him, wanted to bite him. He said, with so many souls around, you only come for me. So we should not follow Chandula's example. Very bad example. He's teaching us what not to do. It's a very important lesson actually. When we see even the devotee is doing something wrong, we should not have bad feelings toward them. We should think, oh, thank you Krishna for teaching me what I should not do. He's not teaching us, So be careful, And also pray to Krishna, please protect me from doing bad things. Anybody can have problems or, do wrong things. We always depend on Krishna's mercy to be protected. Alright, now we can have some few questions maybe, if anybody has any questions or comments. Alright, looks very late, everybody's a little hungry. So, waiting.
Purana, there is always demons and gods. Any gods, demons.
Yes.
Rakshasas, Chulas.
Yes.
All of them have to depend on them.
Yes, correct. I mean, demons, they know that Vishnu is the Supreme, but they don't want to accept his authority. They defy his authority. Devatas are obedient to the Lord. So that's why they are protected by the Lord. They are obedient. But sometimes the devatas become a little proud, You know this saying that not even a blade of grass can move without the will of the Lord? Do you know from where this came? This came from a story from the Puranas. That once, the Devatas, with the help of Lord Vishnu, were successful in defeating the Asuras. So they were very proud, we defeated the Asuras and all this, So Lord Vishnu wanted to give them, the lesson in humbleness. So Vishnu took a blade of grass and told Agni, you are such a powerful, devata. You can burn, even a planet with fire. Can you burn this blade of grass? Oh, that's very easy. Why are you asking me such an easy thing? Okay, please me do it. And he threw heavy fire on this blade of grass. The blade of grass wasn't touched. It was as green as it was. And then Krishna told Valu, you have powerful wind, big storm, very powerful. Can you blow away this little grass? He said, yes, that's very easy. Start to blow and blow and nothing. He didn't even move from Lord Vishnu's hand. And Indra, you have this thunderbolt, very powerful thunder. Can you destroy this bed of grass? Oh, that's very easy. Okay. None of the devotees could harm this bed of grass. So they immediately understood that unless there is the Lord's blessing, nobody. Mare Krishna Rake Krishna Mare Ke. You know this Bengali saying? If Krishna protects somebody, you can harm that person. And if Krishna says this is the time for this person to die, who can free that person? There's one story in that regard, a short story. It's an Arabian story. You know, I found it in a mathematic book. Arabs are famous for mathematics. But you know, the said Arabic numbers, actually those numbers were invented in India. The zero wasn't invented by the Arabians, it was invented by the Indians. They found the Vishnu temple from the 9th century, an inscription in Sanskrit with the number zero inscripted there. They invented the zero. But they took it, the Arabians took it from India to Europe. And at the beginning, the Christian church would not allow anybody to use this zero. They thought this coming from Satan or the devil or something. Because this concept of nothing, zero, they thought this is something. And if somebody would use it, they burn the person alive, you know. So fanatical. So ignorant. Anyway, so in that story says that one man, after servant, go to the market and buy some fruits and vegetables. So the servant went, and when he was at the market, he saw dead personified, staring at him. He became completely frightened. He ran to his master, master, I saw that staring at me. I became very frightened. I don't want to die. Please give me horse. I want to go he was in Medina. I want to go to Baghdad right now. Okay, take a horse, run away. So the master had to go himself buy the vegetables and fruit. And at the market, he saw dead personified. So he approached them. Why did you frighten my servant? You are staring at him, you frightened him. The dead said, I'm very sorry, it wasn't my intention to frighten him. I was just surprised to see him here in Medina. Because this evening I have an appointment with him in Baghdad. What is this man doing here? Appointment is there, nothing. So like that, you know, you can't escape your destiny. Only Krishna can change our destiny. By when surrendering to him. Alright, so very good. It's very late now. Thank you very much for coming, hearing about the Lord. हरि ओम श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर भगवान हरि ओम